biblical hope is what allows Christians to live at peace with God. Today on Daily in the Word, Dr. Paul Chappell shares with us how to have faith when others fear.
The fact of the matter is that dead faith touches the intellect, but it doesn't change the heart. Demonic faith can touch the emotions, but it doesn't change the heart. But a dynamic faith touches the heart and in turn affects your whole life, and you want to serve God and live for God and do the will of God.
The promises of the Bible and the person of Jesus Christ are more relevant and powerful than ever before. In our series, Reasons for Our Hope, your heart will be encouraged and your perspective renewed as you learn more about the hope Jesus Christ came to offer. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. In today's message, you will be assured that no matter how hopeless your situation may seem, with Christ, there is always hope. And now, here's Pastor Paul Chappell with a message called An Effective Faith.
Every person here who is saved will have their faith tested. A faith that cannot be tested cannot be trusted. And many of you have experienced testings and trials in your faith. And this word here, temptations, means trials and difficulties in life. Peter said in 1 Peter 4:12, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you." Someone says, "Man, I'm a Christian now, and yet I'm still having health problems. I'm still having financial problems, and that sure seems strange. And I thought when I became a Christian, everybody would love me, but my old friends think I'm weird now that I'm a Christian, and I just don't understand why my family won't rejoice that I go to church all the time. They seem to feel bitter that I go to church all the time," and on the list can continue. Why? The Bible says, don't think it's strange when trials come. It is not strange. In fact, all those that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. It's a part of your development of a strong and effective faith. And God wants us to learn how to develop our faith by waiting on Him. In fact, those who were the first recipients of the book of James, they lived in the first century in what we would call today Turkey. And many of those Christians in that area would oftentimes be imprisoned for their faith in Christ. They would be spat upon and beaten and sometimes killed because they believed in Jesus Christ. And so God says to them, I want you to recognize the need to let the trying of your faith work patience in your life. Now, there's two ways that we can wait on the Lord. First of all, we can wait joyfully. We can wait joyfully. Someone says, "Well, how can I be joyful about my trial?" Here's why. We can be joyful because God is at work. God is always working on our behalf, even through the waiting time, even through the trying time, even through the difficult time. Look at your notes there, 2 Corinthians 12:9, and let me give you the background to that passage. The Apostle Paul was a mighty man of God, but he had suffered some physical infirmities. Some say a disease of the eyes. Paul the Apostle three times asked Jesus Christ to heal him. And it's not wrong to ask Jesus to heal you. And by the way, Jesus alone is the great physician. But three times God chose not to heal the Apostle Paul. Sometimes the so-called faith healers who want to say that they can heal and they have a ministry of healing and come to their crusade and they'll heal you. I'd like to take them down to the hospital to do some healing for some of our church members today. You see, they're not the healers. Only Jesus is the healer. But the fact of the matter is that even this great man, the Apostle Paul, God did not choose to heal him. Isn't that amazing? And yet the Bible says concerning his situation, 2 Corinthians 12:9, that Jesus said to Paul, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I glory rather in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." Jesus said to Paul, "Paul, my strength is made perfect, complete and whole in your weakness. And one of the truths that we know of the Christian life is that when we are weak, then God's strength can become real in our lives. But when we are strong in our own ways, many times we do not depend on the Lord. But when we're having trouble, whether it's family trouble or health trouble, it's at those times when we say, Lord, I need your strength. And that's why Paul said, I am going to be glad in my infirmities, because it is during those times of sickness and weakness that the power of Christ rests upon my life. And so God challenges us today to wait joyfully, knowing that his strength is real when we are weak. Notice, not only are we to wait joyfully, but we are to wait patiently. Now, someone says, now the last thing I need is a message on patience, Pastor. Well, let me tell you, God wants us to learn how to wait patiently on him. Notice what the Bible says in verse 3. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Now, God's challenge to us is that we would wait patiently. Faith is the refusal to panic. Faith is the belief that God is at work. Romans 8:28 says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. And when we know that God is at work, we can let patience run its full course. In fact, notice what it says there in verse number 4. Let patience have her perfect work, that ye may become perfect. The word perfect there means mature. Make note of that. God says, let patience have its complete work. You know what I find? I find a lot of Christians that when their trial comes, when their sickness comes, when their job isn't what they want, instead of letting God work in their heart, they bail out on God. They jump ship on God. They find themselves by the roadside like a broken down Honda station wagon, just sitting there going nowhere. We've got to say, as the trial comes, I'm going to stay true. I'm going to let this run its completed cycle. When I went to Bible college, I had never done laundry in my life before. And my mom had me pretty well spoiled. And so here I am in a laundromat trying to figure out how in the world to do laundry. And as I was there one particular day, I was running late to work. And I had to get all the way from San Dimas over to the Pomona area where I was working at that time. And so I thought, now, you know, surely it doesn't take all this long to wash a garment. And I threw all these clothes in that washing machine, and I put a lot of soap in there. I put a little extra soap just to make sure everything got real clean. And as it went around for a while, I think it finished up the spin cycle, I looked in. Things smelled pretty clean, looked pretty good to me. So I just pulled everything out of the washer, threw it in the dryer, whipped it around a little bit. Later on, I tried to press it some. Folks, when I put those clothes on, they were the most itchy, clumpy clothes you've ever had on in your life. When I tried to iron some of those clothes, it was like ironing a sandbar at the ocean. I'm telling you, those clothes made me itch. That soap was still in there. And I learned a very valuable lesson that day. Don't rush the washing machine. And I want to challenge you, when trials come in your life, don't rush the washing machine. Don't say, that's it, I'm out of this relationship. That's it, I'm tired of my family. That's it, I'm moving to Idaho where all the streams are peaceful. And I'll just have a great, no, wait a minute. We need to learn to wait on the Lord. Let patience have its completed work, so that we might be a completed work. You show me someone who's prone to bailing out, I'll show you someone who's got a lot of growing up to do still. God says we are to wait on him. You see, God is developing endurance in our lives. Notice what it says in verse 3, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. The word patience means to remain under pressure, to remain under pressure. And I thank God for people who are steady and who are faithful. And the reason you can say that about some people is because they have been steady under pressure. God wants to develop endurance, and God wants to develop maturity in your life. And so we're to let patience have its perfect or complete work. Now, an effective faith is a waiting faith. An effective faith during the difficult time says, God, I'm not going to throw in the towel. I'm going to wait on you to do what you want to do inside of me. And as we learn to wait on the Lord during the trials, God will strengthen our heart, for his strength is made perfect in weakness. Now, an effective faith is not only a waiting faith, but secondly, an effective faith is a willing faith. A willing faith. And I want you to hear this morning. Every one of us, if we're going to have an effective faith, we're going to have a willing heart. Notice what the Bible says in verse 19. It says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Now, how many men here today would say, you know, sometimes I'm just the opposite of that. I'm swift to speak and slow to hear. Well, we have two honest men. All right, good, wonderful. We are going to have quite an altar call this morning. Most of us are swift to speak and swift to anger and slow to listen. But this verse says we're to be swift to listen. We are to be willing to listen. And so notice, we're to be willing to listen. Now, I want to ask you this question this morning. Did you come to this service today? Did you come into this room and sit into that seat today anticipating in your heart that God would speak to you? I didn't ask you if you came to hear the choir or if you came to hear the preacher. I'm asking you, did you come this morning to hear from God? Are you willing to listen? Are you ready to listen to the Word of God? Proverbs 8:32 says, now therefore hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise, and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me. Sometimes someone will say, well, we were going to such and so church, but we just weren't being fed there. And you know, sometimes that may be true. I know of some churches that have very little Bible preaching. They're doing more music and drama and all kinds of fluff stuff, but not getting into the Word of God. And so sometimes that may be a fair statement. But wait a minute. Did you know that if someone's sitting in church and they don't have a willing heart and their heart's not open, that Jesus Christ himself could preach and they'd get nothing out of it? Folks, we've got to come into this church house with a willing and an open heart, saying, God, speak to my heart today. I want to hear from you today. And if your heart looks like this morning, nothing's going to come unless you are ready and willing to listen to the Word of God. And I know a lot of Christians with selective hearing. If it's a song they like, boy, they're in tune. They'll remember a funny story, but will they hear from the Word of God? You see, that's the question. And we must not have selective hearing when it comes to God's Word. We must hear the whole counsel of the Word of God. We must be willing to listen. Secondly, we must be willing to receive. Willing to receive. Notice James 1:21. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted Word, which is able to save your souls. Now, we must lay aside the sin and the weights, the naughtiness that's in our heart that would cause us to not receive the Word of God. We must purify our hearts. James 4:8 says, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. We've got to prepare our heart, if you will, so that there's no wicked thoughts there prevailing, so that the Word of God can get in. Several weeks ago, we had our first little bit of warmth here in the Antelope Valley, and I got all excited. I thought spring had come. How many of you get confused by our weather sometimes? Well, I got excited about the warm weather, and I bought some seeds of radishes and corn and such, and I went to the backyard, and I planted some rows of these different vegetables, and I was excited about it. And then all of a sudden, here came the cold weather again, cold and rain and cold and rain, and nothing was growing in the backyard until a few days ago. It got warm again, and I went back out into that garden as the warm weather came. I wanted to see how it was going, and guess what I saw? Weeds. Lots and lots of weeds, big, healthy weeds. Now, I did not go to the store, the hardware store, and buy weed seed. I did not say, give me some seeds for dandelions, give me some seeds for bindweed, and so I can plant some seeds for the weeds. No. Most people don't plant seeds for the weeds. They just come up by themselves. And that's how sin is. It sneaks into the life and it begins to choke your heart so that when the preaching's coming, the seed can't even get in. If I'm going to have any kind of a garden this summer, I'm going to have to get out in that yard the next day or two, and I'm going to have to hoe up some of those weeds and get them out of the way so that that fruit can grow. And if you're going to have any kind of a spiritual life, you're going to have to purify your heart and eradicate the weeds and lay aside the naughtiness, lay aside the wickedness, and say, God, I am ready not only to hear, but I'm ready to receive what you have for me. We must simply open our hearts and receive the engrafted Word of God. The church at Thessalonica received the Word of God, not as the Word of men, but as it is in truth, the very Word of God. Now, if you're going to have an effective faith, first of all, it will be a waiting faith, patiently waiting on the Lord during the trials. Secondly, it will be a willing faith, listening to the Lord and moving aside those things that would choke out His Word from your heart. Notice thirdly, if we're going to have an effective faith, it's going to be a working faith. A working faith. Now, someone says, well, I don't like that word, work. It makes me get nervous. I don't know if I want to hear about this point. Well, let's see what the Bible says. Chapter 2, verse 14. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? Or could that kind of faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace and be warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Now, the fact of the matter is that if you are not working out your faith, if you're not faithful to the things of God, if you're not growing in your spiritual life, there will come doubts into your heart about your relationship with God. God's desire is that you would have an effective working faith. Notice a few things about a working faith. First, a working faith is a responsible faith. It's a responsible faith. The Bible tells us in verses 14 through 17 that there would come some into the church who needed food and clothing. And the Bible says, if someone came that needed food and clothing and you saw that and did nothing about it, what kind of faith is that? If you see a need but do nothing to help meet that need, what kind of faith is that? It is a dead faith. It sees the need and does nothing. It's avoiding responsibility. Why do some people look for every reason not to go to church? Every reason that all churches are a ripoff, all they want is your money, all they want is this or that, I'm never going to church, but they still claim the Christian name. Let me tell you something, friend. That kind of faith is a dead faith. The fact of the matter is that dead faith touches the intellect, but it doesn't change the heart. Demonic faith can touch the emotions, but it doesn't change the heart. But a dynamic faith touches the heart and in turn affects your whole life, and you want to serve God and live for God and do the will of God. Notice what the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 1:3. And I want you to see this verse. Paul is writing to the church at Thessalonica. He says, remembering without ceasing your work of faith. He doesn't say, I remember your faith. He says, I remember your work of faith. These buildings are not here today because we all sat in a circle and hummed. They're here today not simply because we sat in a circle and believed. They're here today because we had a faith that worked. And we were willing to give and sacrifice and pray and carry lumber and do whatever it took to get the job done. And I'm talking to you today about a faith that's willing to work, a faith that's willing to do what God would have you to do. It's not enough simply to say, I'm a Christian. Lehman Strauss said, a great man of yesteryear said, a man may hear the truth and even say that he believes, but if there is no fruit in our living, there may well be no salvation. Merely saying you are a Christian does not mean you are a Christian. Many people are simply giving God lip service. Listen, coming into a church house doesn't make you a Christian any more than walking in your garage makes you a car. Any more than joining the Elks Club makes you an elk. The fact of the matter is, lots of people say they're a Christian, but they've never truly been born again. We have got to have a working faith. A working faith is what James is speaking about here. And the fact is today that so few people really in the Christian realm have a working faith. Working faith is responsible. Working faith, secondly, is recognizable. Recognizable. Notice verse 18. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. Notice, as the Bible says of Abraham, verse 21, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Ye see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only? Likewise also, was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way? Now, these verses are not saying that Abraham and Rahab were saved by their works. It was saying that because they were saved, they worked. And when you have in your heart a true dynamic faith inside of you, it's going to work its way outside of you. And so our faith must be a faith that is demonstrated, that is recognizable. Charles Spurgeon said every Bible should be bound in shoe leather. In other words, we should live out that faith each and every day. Now, the fact of the matter is today that many times Christians are not living out their faith, and yet they wonder, why doesn't my faith seem to work? Because they're not applying themselves in the Christian life. It's like joining a health club, never going in one time, and then saying, you know, I'm just not having my needs met by this health club. You know, they say, I don't feel any more pep and vitality. When they told me to join the health club, they said if I joined the health club, I'd lose weight, I'd feel healthy, and I'd have vitality, and I don't feel any of that. And in fact, I haven't lost any weight at all. I look more like the Pillsbury Doughboy than Mr. Flat Abs. Well, wait a minute now. Just joining the health club doesn't mean you're going to have an effective workout. Nor does just joining the church mean that you're going to have an effective faith. There's got to be the application of the truth in your everyday life. And so working faith is recognizable. Abraham was willing to offer his son Isaac in a demonstration of his faith. Rahab was willing to hide the spies that Joshua sent into Jericho. She risked her life in order to demonstrate her faith in God and her love for the people of God. I thank God today for people who have a recognizable faith. Now, is your faith working today? May I say to you that if your faith will work, you must be willing in your life each and every day to have a faith that is waiting, and to have a faith that is willing to hear, and to have a faith that is working each and every day, exercising in the spiritual realm. I pray that your faith will be an effective faith for the glory of God. Let's pray together. Father, how I thank you this morning for this time to learn about an effective faith. And Lord, I pray today that our faith would not be like a broken down car on the side of the road, but that our faith would be effective, alive, and dynamic.
You've been listening to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. In life, there's nothing more important than knowing where you'll spend eternity. Some people believe that being a good person is their pass to get into heaven, or that this life is all there is. But nothing could be further from the truth. That's why Pastor Paul Chappell wants us to send you his newest book called Paid in Full, Your Debt, God's Payment, as a thanks when you support this ministry financially. Call us at 1-800-68-TODAY or go to dailyintheword.org to request this book for yourself or a loved one. We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chappell has served as the pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church for more than 30 years, and he is the author of many books. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chappell's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message, connect with us, and sign up for Pastor Chappell's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at dailyintheword.org. And thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here on Daily in the Word.